This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You are listening to the Broken Catholic Man Show, where we help you tell the truth, expose the lies, and slay your own demons. This is a live call-in show for men. So if you are a man and you have a question about your marriage, faith, or purpose, then call 727-441-3000. That's 727-441-3000. Now here is your host, Joseph the Broken Catholic. Prepare yourself for freedom, my friend.
Good morning, my friends. How are you today? Welcome to another edition of Broken Catholic, the Man Show. As you guessed it, this is specifically for men. Now, some of you ladies, you may want to listen in as well, for your husbands, right? You want to possibly get some insights into how men think, why we do what we do, and how we are wired different than you. All right, so we are in our fifth edition or fifth episode of this new show. And last week we discussed growing a deeper personal relationship with God. We went into many different examples. I shared some stories. I shared my personal story of a major breakdown that I had in my own life, in my family, right? Something personal to me. And the reason why I do that and I open up my chest cavity and let you in is not so that you can hear something just interesting or entertaining as far as a story, but I'm trying to be an example of how we as men must open up and be vulnerable with others and share not just the good times and the highlights of our lives with others, but also the breakdowns and the mess ups and the mistakes, the things we don't want to admit about ourselves, the things we dislike about ourselves, so that we can focus on them, bring them to God, surrender them to God, and eventually conquer them, right? Mess up less. And that's the objective here, is to grow holy, right? And that's such an interesting topic. That'll be another show, another day. Like, what does that even mean to be holy? And is that even relevant in today's times and society? So today we're going to speak about improving marital relationships and communication, right? And here's the myth. So here's my question for you. Is good communication overrated in marriage? Is having good communication overrated in marriage? You hear it all the time. You got to have good communication. You got to improve your communication. Is that really the key to having a successful marriage? Is there more to it? We're going to find out today. All right. But before we get into today's topic, I promised you going forward that we're going to remind ourselves of God's grand story and what is your part in it, so that every single day, whether it be Monday and you're joining me here on the show, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can put purpose to what you're going through. You could put purpose to your work. You could put purpose to the pain, the suffering that you're enduring. It's so critical to understand your part in God's grand story, that your life is not pointless. It's not purposeless. It has purpose. It has a point. And it's all directed towards our Heavenly Father. Your life, I learned this a long time ago, and this really set me free. It's so simple. But one of my mentors said to me one time, he said, Joseph, your life has nothing to do with you. Like your life has nothing to do with you. It's not about you. And at first, that's startling. It's confronting. What do you mean it has nothing to do with me? It's my life. I'm in charge. I'm in control. Yeah, but are you? Well, If I reflect on it, I guess not everything, but most of it, I'm in control. Yeah, but are you? Well, maybe not most of it. Maybe some of it. Okay. But yeah, are you in control of even some of it? Think about it. Think about the things that go wrong in your life and you try to make them right, but you can't. Are you even in control of those things? The more I looked and the more I reflected on my own life and just time passing and then looking back in retrospect, where we get wisdom from and we learn from our mistakes, our missteps, the more I got honest with myself and I realized, wow, probably 99% of my life I have no control over. As far as the situations, the circumstances, the things that happen to me, to my family. And if you're being honest, you could probably say the same thing, right? About your own life. So that's important. That's important for us to get that we don't have much control over anything. And to think so is really just, well, it's a lie. It's pride. And when it comes to our marriages, which we're going to talk about today, we don't have much control over that either. And I'm going to get into what we can control versus what we can't control in your marriage. And I think that's going to help you. It's going to set you free in some areas and take some burden off of you. All right, but before we do that, let's speak about God's grand story. So again, I broke this down, oversimplified the entire Bible, the love story of God with mankind, into the five acts of God in man's drama or saga. The first act is the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and all that God made was good. Then God created man with an immortal soul. That means you're going to live forever, right? And made him ruler over all his creation. And man walked with God in paradise, and it was good. So that was God's intention. And it happened. It was good. The second act, the fall. But man turned away from the Creator and began to worship the creation, seeking power and praise for himself. He betrayed God. He betrayed God, bringing death upon his own body and corruption upon his children and his children's children for generations, all the way up to present day. His sins spread like cancer, enslaving all humanity, and man could not remove this evil on his own. That's important. Mankind could not remove this evil that he brought upon himself. He could not remove it on his own. The third act, the chosen. Seeing that mankind was headed toward self-destruction, God made a covenant with a few of his chosen people that he called Israel, promising to send them a deliverer, to free them from this addiction to selfishness, to sin, our addiction to self-glory. The fourth act, the rescue. So God sent his only son, Jesus, to earth on a rescue mission to free man from death and teach him how to live rightly. By trading his own life for man, Jesus satisfied God's justice, restoring man's relationship with God. Then Jesus rose from the dead and permanently destroyed death's grip over man, offering freedom to all those who believe in Jesus and follow his teachings. So you got to believe and live according to God's teachings, yeah? And then the final act, or the fifth act, is the church. The church. That's us, the body of Christ. Before he left this earth, Jesus established the church and instructed his closest friends to write down God's grand story in the Bible and share it with everyone across the nations. Finally, he sent his people, his Holy Spirit, to lead the church, teaching man how to properly praise God and love one another so that man could once again walk with God in paradise forever. So what is the purpose of the church? That's the purpose of the church. to teach us to properly praise God, to properly worship God rather than ourselves, and to love one another, so that man can once again walk with God in paradise forever, God's original intention. So those are the five acts of the entire love story of God summed up. I have it written down on one page just for you. So I'm going to start every show with that, so that we can put into context the rest of the conversation for the day, so that you know your part in the story. So which act are you living in right now? Are you in the creation, the fall, the chosen, the rescued, the church? The correct answer is we're living in the church, the final act. However, you may resonate in your own personal life and see all five of those acts playing out in your own life, where God created you, formed you in your mother's womb, knit you together. He made you, right? Masterfully and wonderfully made. That's you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the creation. And then, you know, you grow up. About age 7, we get our reason and our intellect formed. And then we start making, you know, those not so good decisions. And we choose wrong over right. We test our boundaries. And then for some of us, we continue to choose wrong. And we start to lead a life of self-destruction. And we create our own fall within our life. And maybe it doesn't happen in your 20s and 30s like it did with me. Maybe it's in your 40s. Maybe it's in your 50s. Maybe it's happening right now in your 60s and 70s. But we have the fall. And then the chosen, right? Like God came to a certain individual people. And he gives all, like his grace is available to all mankind, right? And then he has this in your own life at times where you just, God was not important to you. And you weren't even aware of him. You were just out doing the thing, right? Sinning. Having a great time. The prodigal son. And that was me. I was in my 20s and 30s. I wasn't even aware of God. Like, he wasn't even on my peripheral. I wanted nothing to do with him. And when all my poor choices led me so far away, not just from God, but from right, from morality, you know, I burnt my life to the ground. Unconsciously, of course. Unintentionally. But I burnt it to the ground. I lost everything. I lost the money, right? I had made millions when I was in my 20s. I lost the money, the fortune, right? All that. And the fame that comes with that. And mine wasn't like fame, like celebrity or anything like that, obviously. But mine was fame amongst those who knew I had money, right? And all the people that are attracted to that. And all the, when the money ran out, so did all the friends and the girls and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I burnt my life to the ground. I lost everything and I wanted to take my own life. I was almost murdered twice on the West Coast. Story for another day. Two stories. But God chose me. And he came in and interrupted my self-destruction. And he stopped me. And he called me back to him. And it was a slow, silent call, a whisper over time. And it took about 10 years of him just drawing me closer and closer and closer back to him. Right? Back into the light, out of the darkness, back into the light. So I was chosen. And maybe you resonate with that in your story. And then the rescue, right? Like once I realized, oh my gosh, like God does love me. He's loved me my whole life, and I've walked away from him. I've turned away from him. And it's because of how he was presented to me when I was a kid. And he was presented as more of a tyrant to be feared rather than a father to be loved and to run to. Once God like cleared that out for me and I really understood him as a father, Well, then he was really easy to love. And I was able to start to receive love, right, from him, to allow him in. And I'm sharing my story so that you can find your story in it, right? And that was the rescue. Like, God chose me, and then he saved me, right? And he sent his son and rescued me and brought me back. The son brought me to the Father, right? So Jesus brings us to the Father. That was part of his whole mission, right? To save us from our sins and restore us back to the Father. Like, that's it. And so many times we stop at Jesus and we never go to the Father. Or for some of the Catholics out there listening, you know, sometimes we get caught up in these devotions to Mary and we never go to the Father. And they're not bad, but they're not complete. The whole purpose of Mary is to point to Jesus, her son, and the whole purpose of Jesus' coming here is to point us to his Father. Like, you get that? Like, that's the point. So we got to get to the Father eventually and be rescued by our heavenly dad. And then the final act, the church, right? This is where God now, after we receive his love, we repent, then he calls us into being led by the Holy Spirit to praise him, to worship him properly, and to love one another and tell all the ends of the earth about his grand story. So that's why I'm on the radio here. That's why I'm investing money into being on here and speaking with you every single week, so that, right, I'm doing my part in God's story. And there's fulfillment in knowing your part and doing your part in God's grand story rather than your own. Right? So many times we create our own story, and eventually, even if we achieve the big things we think are going to make us so happy, we realize that the story's empty and we feel empty on the inside. And that was me, definitely, for sure, pursuing all the pleasures of the world and getting many of them. I found myself empty, alone, and wanted to end my life. That sounds like bait and switch. And it is. It is. All right, so that's where you are. We're in the church. That's your time. And I wanted to do a reflection today. So that was God's grand story. We're going to get into our topic, which is improving marital communication. But before we do that, I want to share a reflection or two that have really served me, and I hope they serve you, right? So many times, I think, we don't know what to do every day. Like, we wake up, and some days we feel good, we're ready, energized, our body feels good, our mind feels sharp, after coffee, of course, and, or 2 cups, or 3 cups for some of you. Little coffee fiends. And we're ready. We're ready for the day. We're ready to take on anything, conquer everything. And then maybe like you, those days are outliers. Maybe like me, I should say. I know they're outliers for me. Those days where my flesh feels alive, feels incredible. Let's go. But I would say the majority of my days, and I'm guessing, I don't know, maybe you're better than me, but the majority of your days are rough starts or false starts in a way. You wake up and you feel upside down and backwards in the day as soon as your feet hit the floor. And you're like, oh man, my body aches. My brain is so foggy. I just can't get clear on anything. I'm not motivated. Gotta go to work. The grind. And we just don't look forward to those days, right? But we push through because you and I were responsible adults. Many of us were fathers. So I was going to say we have no choice, but of course we have a choice. You can be an irresponsible father. So there's a choice, but you're not, I'm not. We're good fathers. So we choose what's right. And we provide. And we provide financially. And hopefully we also provide spiritually for our children. And hopefully we also provide emotionally for our children so that we're emotionally available to them. So we're not just tough dad who doesn't really communicate, but we're also tender dad who has his chest cavity wide open and shares his own vulnerabilities with his kids and doesn't feel less of a man in doing so. He actually feels really good about that because he's teaching his own children what it's like to be both tough and tender simultaneously, especially his sons. I know that's what I attempt to do. So we have those days, and here's a reflection for us, and I read it this morning, and I'll share it with you. Accept each day exactly as it comes to you. By that, what we mean is not only accept the circumstances of your day, but also accept the condition of your body, how it's feeling. Your assignment is to trust God 100%, completely, absolutely, resting in His sovereignty and faithfulness in your life. On some days, your circumstances and your physical condition feel out of balance, like I just described. They feel upside down. They feel backwards. The demands on you seem far greater than your strength. Days like that present a choice for you between two alternatives. Number one, giving up. Or number two, relying on God. Those are your two choices. You could give up when you start your days, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Go sedate with something. Give up. Or you could say, God, I don't have enough strength today. Like, oh, I'm hurting. I just don't think I could do it. I need you. And rely on Him and His strength. So even if you wrongly choose the first alternative and you give up mentally, emotionally, physically, God will not reject you. And I think that's really important for us to understand, that God will not reject you or condemn you for doing that. You can still turn to Him at any point during the day, and He will help you crawl out of the mire, that's that sticky mud, the mire of discouragement. Because discouragement is very sticky, isn't it? It's hard to get out of once you're in it. God will infuse His strength into you moment by moment during the day, giving you all that you need for this day. This day, not tomorrow, not for next week, not for the next year, just today. So our job, your job, is to trust God 100%, completely, by relying on His empowering presence in your day. In other words, stop relying on your strength, especially on the days when it's not enough, it's insufficient, and rely on God's strength, which is always enough, more than enough. But He normally just gives you enough for today. Your daily dose of heavenly power. Your daily dose of heavenly power. So a couple Bible verses to support that first reflection is Psalm 42:5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior. And then we have 2 Corinthians 13:4. For to be sure, Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in Him, yet by God's power, we will live with Him to serve you. So again, our flesh is not enough. Our strength is not enough. We need God's strength and power. Jeremiah 31:25. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Come on, how many of your days feel weary and you feel like fainting, huh? You just want to like pass out. Just want to curl up on the bed or not even get out of bed and just crawl back under a rock. You have those mornings? Come on, you're human like the rest of us. I think we all have those mornings sometimes. All right, so that was our first reflection. Here's our second reflection. Also pretty solid, I think. Walk with God along paths of trust. The most direct route between point A and point B on your life journey is the path of unwavering trust in God. Think about that for a second. Isn't it true? Like the most direct route to get to where you're going in your life is to trust God completely because He has the map and you don't. That makes sense, right? That's reasonable. God has the map of your entire life. All your days are numbered. He knows the number. You don't. So if God knows how long you're going to live, and He has the map of His plan and purpose for your life, and you don't, wouldn't you agree the most direct path for you would be to trust Him fully in guiding you step by step every day? So what happens if you don't? When your faith falters, you choose a trail that meanders and takes you well out of the way. Come on, how many times have we done that? Seriously. How many times have I done that? And I look back and I'm like, why did I choose that? That was so much wasted time, so much wasted energy. And it ended up nowhere or not even close to where I thought it would go. Now, you may still get to point B eventually, but you will have lost precious time and energy. And you don't get back time. Energy refills, but you don't get back time. Time doesn't refill. As soon as you realize you have wandered from your path of trust in God, look to Him and whisper, four words, ready? Jesus, I trust in You. Jesus, I trust in You. Jesus, I trust in You. Five words. It's Monday morning, people. This simple affirmation or acknowledgement will help you get back on track. Right? You're acknowledging God in your day. Even when you fell off, right? You meandered like a little kid. My little boy, I got a one-year-old and a three-year-old son. His birthday was yesterday, the three-year-old. And if we go outside and I am not constantly saying, hey, and snap, I'm not that dad, but you get what I'm saying. Like he's distracted by every little thing, squirrels, bird, car, and he'll just walk right out into traffic if we're not aware and right there with him. And how many times do we do that as grown men, as adults? We just walk right out into the traffic of life. And God's like, son, what are you doing? That's dangerous. Don't go that way. And we're like, what? I was looking at the girl. And we get distracted and we get pulled into dangerous, self-destructive behaviors, don't we? Maybe I'm just speaking for myself here. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Broken Catholic Man Show. I'm Joseph Warren, and this is a live call-in show. You could call in anytime with a comment, a question, a reflection, something that's personal to you, a story you want to share, as long as it's not long-winded, of course, because I'll cut you off, but haha. And our direct line here is 727-441-3000. That's 727-441-3000. And maybe you're listening in your car radio across Tampa Bay, and thank you for joining us today. Or maybe you're listening online worldwide. Again, you can reach us directly at that number. Okay, so back to the reflection. So the further you roam along paths of unbelief in God, the harder it is to remember that God is with you in the day, isn't it? Like the further we step off of the path, the further away from God we walk, the more difficult it is to see Him, to experience His presence right there with us. So in other words, when we wander, we make it harder for ourselves to get back to peace, to the Prince of Peace. Anxious thoughts branch off in all directions, taking you further and further, or farther and farther, depending on your grammar, from awareness of God's presence right there with you, right? You need to voice your trust in God frequently throughout the day. So we got to acknowledge God throughout the day, and I give you the way to do it, right? Those five simple words, Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. Maybe you're doing something hard and you're just so frustrated and you just want to smash down the wrench or put it through a car windshield or whatever, or you're cut off in traffic and you want to throw up the middle finger, and instead you choose to say, Jesus, I trust in you. And you bring him right back into the details of your day. Like, that's important. So once we get into the marriage conversation, which I'm getting to, you could do that in your marriage too. You know that, right? When you're frustrated with your wife, you could say, Jesus, I trust in you. The simple act of faith, this simple act of faith, will keep you walking along straight paths with God. Trust in him with all your heart, and he will make your path straight. All right, so some little Bible verses here, just as support here, God's truth. I like to speak them out loud. We got Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. The Lord is the rock eternal. You're not. I'm not. We're not enough. We're more like mud, right? Quicksand, actually, if we're being accurate. Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Amen. Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. My hope is in you all day long. And finally, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because you don't have the map. That's why. We don't have the big picture. God does. So that's why we trust in him with all our heart. And we lean not on our own understanding because we have limited data. So we will choose wrong almost every single time with the wrong data or not enough data, information. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, meaning throughout your day, every step you take, acknowledge him. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Father, I surrender to you. Father, I surrender to you. And he will make your path straight. All right, awesome. Thanks for walking that little double reflection with you, with me today. And I hope that served you and just refreshes your bones as it did mine today, especially when life feels extra hard. Mondays tend to feel that way, don't they? Right? Like it's ketchup day. Not mustard day. That's a dad joke. It's ketchup day, right? We're catching up on the weekend, and there's so many things to do. The busyness of life. I was sitting and having coffee this morning, and I stopped at a convenience store, gas station, whatever, and I was parked in the car just sipping the coffee, and I'm watching all the busy people walking in and out of the store and gassing up their cars and trucks for the day ahead. And just their faces look sad and just heavy. They looked heavy, you know? And I just thought to myself, I was like, wow, we as people, we look like a bunch of little mice scurrying around, all busy for the day ahead. And how often do we stop and actually think why we're doing things, or think, how's my life going? Or think, how do I stop doing these destructive behaviors? Or stop and think about God in the day, in the work? And how many times we don't? How many times do we think about God in our marriage? When you look at your wife, how many times do you think about God and see God in her when you look at her? All right, so today's topic is improving marital communication. And the question is good communication overrated in marriage, or is it the most important thing? What do you think? Give a call if you want, 727-441-3000. Let me know what you think. I want to hear. All right, so let me tell you a quick story about a couple who transformed their relationship through intentional communication. You notice I said intentional communication, because good communication doesn't happen as a without effort, right? It's not our default. Our default is poor communication or no communication. Why? Because it's easier. It's the path of least resistance. And we're so busy. We're scurrying through the day. Who has time to have real communication with anyone anymore? So let's talk about the communication breakdown here. So James and Lisa had been married for 10 years, but their communication had deteriorated. They often argued and felt disconnected. It seemed like when they spoke, the majority of their conversations, short or long, were always just arguments. One evening, after a particular heated argument, James realized something needed to change. He suggested they see a marriage counselor, which is quite surprising for the husband to suggest that, right? Normally it's the wife that suggests that, and we resist it. Through the counseling, so they attended it, the wife agreed, Lisa, and through the counseling, they learned effective communication techniques like active listening, and expressing their feelings without blaming. How difficult is that? Come on. Do you easily express your feelings without blaming the other person? I feel like you don't love me, she said. Right? You don't love me. There's an accusation in her feeling. I feel like, ready? Accusation, fill in the blank. You don't love me. That's the accusation. Blame. And how do we receive that? We're like, what? Are you kidding me, woman? Do you not see the work I do? Like, my body is breaking day after day so that I can provide for you and the kids. And you think I don't love you? How dare you? Right? And we can feel that way, right? And justifiably. But maybe our love language is acts of service, so that's how we show love. Maybe hers is not. Maybe hers is quality time. Her love language is quality time. But because we work so much, we don't spend enough time with her. And when we do get home, we're physically exhausted, mentally exhausted. So what do we want to do? First move, we use the restroom, right? We grab a snack to eat, normally something unhealthy, and fill up our mug, our cup, and we go crash on the couch and turn on the game. Any game will do. In fact, any sport will do. Doesn't really matter. We just want to sedate, unplug, unwind. We don't want to think anymore. What does that mean? Well, we don't want to solve any more problems for the day. And we know if we have a chat with our wife, she's probably going to present some problems. And we may be the problem she wants to solve. And we don't want to hear it, right? As men, we're being honest here, right? So that's exactly how James felt. And they would get into these arguments all the time. So they went to counseling, and through the counseling, they learned effective communication techniques like active listening and expressing their feelings without blaming. They started having weekly marriage meetings to discuss their relationship and address issues calmly without accusations. Over time, their communication improved, and their bond grew stronger. No kidding. Well, of course it did. They rediscovered the love and respect they had for each other when they first got married. Guess what else happened? Their attraction grew. Their physical attraction, their emotional attraction grew. And his wife, Lisa, felt emotionally safe with James again. And because of that, she opened up like a flower, right? All the petals open up to her husband, and she wanted to be with him intimately, more often. Isn't that interesting? So the moral of the story is open and honest communication is the foundation of a strong marriage. Good communication is vital in your marriage. Practicing effective communication techniques strengthens your marital bond and fosters a loving relationship with your bride. Okay, so that's the moral of the story. What do you think? Have you tried this and it hasn't worked for you? I want to know. Tell me. 727-441-3000. Call now. You know, I know a guy within my close circle, and just this past weekend, he was having a rift with his wife, with his bride, and they just weren't seeing eye to eye, and they were going through a lot of stress, just a lot of circumstances in their life, a few crises happening, that was putting extra stress on him and also extra stress on her. And then the kids were all sick. So she just had that additional burden of whiny, you know, kids that are in pain and just all that extra whining and crying and everything and just needing her and constantly wanting to be held, right? Little kids. And he saw all that, but yet he couldn't get past that his needs as a husband were not being met. And I'm not just talking about the physical needs. Yeah, that was definitely, you know, a concern for him. But it was the emotional needs and his love language. And he was showing up and really turning on extra love for her in her love language, which was quality time, physical touch. And he was going out of his way to do it, although he was slacking in the physical touch because of all the stress and everything in their circumstances. So he just wasn't doing those tender caresses and non-sexual, you know, making her feel loved touches. And he acknowledged that. He realized that and everything. But he couldn't get past, like, she just wasn't really putting him first. She was definitely putting the kids first. And of course, it makes sense. Like anyone listening, especially any wives listening, women listening right now, is going to be like, the kids needed her. Are you kidding me? Of course, she can't put her husband first. She got to put the kids first. They're sick. Okay. But it had been stacking up even before the kids were sick. And he was just feeling like unloved. You know, he was feeling unloved by his wife, like he was not first for her because she had a habit of putting the kids first, whether it was preparing meals and forgetting to prepare him a plate, but making sure the kids had everything and she was fed. And then he had to come down and dig through the refrigerator and kind of piece together his own lunch or breakfast or dinner, for that fact. Or not waiting for him to come down after work in his shower and come down, you know, and not waiting to start dinner, waiting for him before starting dinner. But instead he comes down and the kids are already halfway through their meal and she's almost done with hers. And she just forgot him. Or so it feels. So it feels. So anyway, it just built up. Built up, man, just stacking in this man. And, you know, he confided in me. He's like, Joseph, I just didn't feel loved by her. And I was starting to resent her and get bitter. Just bitter and resentful towards her. I'm like, so what'd you do? He said, well, I was surrendering a lot of it to God just for weeks and weeks, really months. as it was stacking, and that was helping a lot. That's why I was able to go so long. But then it just came to a head with all the extra stress and everything I was going through and she was going through and the sick kids and all that. And eventually I was like, we need to talk. And she was like, what? What do you mean we need to talk? He's like, we need to talk. Like, I want to talk with you. Let's schedule some time. We haven't had a meaningful conversation in weeks. She's like, okay. So they schedule some time late in the evening on a weekend. And she, before they started the conversation, she came to him and she said, I just want you to know, before we talk, I prayed about, us talking tonight, and I want you to know I'm going to show up humble and open-minded and listen to anything you have to say. And he was taken back and startled, and he said, wow, awesome. That's amazing. Sounds great. All right, let's sit down. And then he started going through his litany or his list, his litany of complaints or grievances with his wife, and as you can imagine, it didn't go well. Do you think she kept her promise of not like taking things personally and being open and receptive? Well, she lasted for a good 10 minutes, right? Like five to 10 minutes. And then she started to go, yeah, but, and started to cut him off as he was communicating how he felt and how her actions were being received on his end, or lack of actions. And she started defending herself, her position, which immediately raised his pride and his ego, and he came in harder because this had stacked for so long. And he also felt a little betrayed because she just said she would be open to listening, and right? And all of a sudden she's blocking and resisting. And so he pushed with the communication. And it was kind of like one of those moments. You've been in those situations where you're like, it's now or never. I got to go for it. Yes, it's getting messy and ugly, but I'm going to do it. Wherever the shrapnel goes, it goes. But we got to have this conversation. I got to be honest and get it out. So he did. And he pushed all the way through. And eventually she broke down in tears. And it wasn't because of him, per se. It was because she came to the realization that she was wrong and that she was not listening to him and how it felt and how she had unintentionally hurt him for so many weeks. And it was one line that she brought up that made her cry. And she said, you just said that you don't feel connected with me for a long time. And I want my husband to feel connected with me. And that really hurts me that I've been showing up in such a way where my husband doesn't feel connected to me. And that was beautiful because she took ownership of it. And then she turned to him with tears in her eyes and she said, how do I do better with this? How do I correct this? I don't want you to feel disconnected from me. And right there, they reconnected, right, in their marriage, and there was healing, and he embraced her, and, right, they spoke about it, and they came up with new possibilities, even within those really stressful times of life and marriage and parenting. And they came up with a plan that could work, and she agreed to the plan. Without that really uncomfortable conversation that man created with his wife, do you think they would have got to healing on their own? It just would have happened in all the busyness of life? What trajectory was their marriage on prior to having that real healing conversation? If they just let it go, or he just every day came home and just turned on the game and refused to have the conversation. And like, I'm not going first. Screw that. She goes first. And he just kept putting it off and off and off. What trajectory would their marriage be on? Like, where is it headed, do you think? I think the answer is obvious, isn't it? like they're headed to a place that I so many men that I coached and worked with would get to. And that was they would put the kids first, the kids first, the kids first, and neglect each other's love languages and needs as husband and wife and putting each other first. And that would disconnect them in their communication, make them both bitter and resentful towards each other, and they would just hold it and repress it, right? Push it down, suppress it. And over time, over the years, once the kids grew up and they moved out and empty nest home, guess what happened? And it's like 80% of the time, like at least in the guys that I worked with, 80% of the time, their marriage was ready for divorce. They didn't know each other anymore. They fell out of love, so to speak. You hear that all the time. And it's because they didn't stop the destructive behaviors that were happening when the warning signs were going off. So for you right now, I want you to have those uncomfortable conversations with your wife. That's your challenge this week. To find healing and to lean in with truth and love, not harshness. Don't be a jerk with your wife. She's your bride. But really try to get through her head and pride and ego and self-defense mechanisms and all that you also have, and get to her heart. Tell her how it makes you feel when she acts a certain way. Don't accuse her. Just say, hey, when you showed up this way the other day or you said these words, this is how I received it on my end, whether that was right or wrong, and it really hurt me. See, now you're speaking in a way that she can receive, because that's how she speaks, right? Emotions and feelings and stuff like that. And I know it's uncomfortable, dude, but if you practice anything, you can get better, right? So today's man question is, how can you improve communication with your wife in line with, you know, the church's teachings? And what is the church's teachings on, well, we'll go into some of those other topics, you know, in the upcoming shows here. But I just want you to focus on, like, what's the communication that needs to happen that maybe you've been putting off with your wife, right? And I want you to tackle that this week and just ask her, hey, can we schedule some time? When can we schedule some time to have a real conversation? And then practice on a regular basis having real conversations about her and what her life is and what she's feeling and what she dreams of and how you feel and how life's going for you. Not just conversations about the kids and things that need to get done. That's all superficial stuff, but that will disconnect you as a husband and wife if you only speak about those things. So get into real conversations with your wife, at least have one this week, and then plan it on a regular basis, okay? So go ahead and schedule that. I call it a marriage reset conversation with your wife to discuss important topics about each other with her, all right? All right, so you've been listening to The Broken Catholic Man Show with Joseph Warren. And next week, we are going to discuss and have the conversation about is addiction to pornography inevitable in today's world? Like, is it even possible to not have porn stash, you know, as a man right now, a good Christian man in today's society? So we're going to get into that next week. Join me next Monday at 8 a.m. Eastern. 8 a.m. Eastern. The show starts about 8:03 after commercials. So I will see you then. God bless you. God love you. And go get that challenge done with your wife.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Paul Molloy, host of Freedom Works, The Paul Molloy Show. I hope you'll join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Tantalk Radio Network, where we strive to bring you the libertarian perspective on political events of the day. There's no show quite like Freedom Works.